I say what ho, this is Brian. The noise will drive you insane, Gardner. This noise will drive you insane, Gardner. Coming to you from Ice Station Zeppelin. Ramble on Towers Dungeon Studio in what USA Today once called Stupid Cold Hesper, Ontario. And you are listening to Ramble on Radio, episode 84. Ramble on Radio is the only dedicated Led Zeppelin podcast on this or any other known internets. Be sure to go to rambleonradio.com. For all your Led Zeppelin news and any links I might mention during the show. You can subscribe to Ramble on Radio through iTunes. If you go to iTunes, do me a favor, leave a review. You can listen on Spreaker, S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R. Not for long, I suspect. That's not, I got about 12, you know, I've got about 20 listens there. About 12 people are following me and about 20-ish listens per podcast is going on through Spreaker, so kind of expanding outside of iTunes has really been an experiment that's not worked. And the same goes for YouTube. YouTube I'll probably keep up with for now, but and nothing's been killed yet. But anyway, and check out Ramble on Radio on YouTube. A couple of people a week are looking at the YouTube videos, so and I suspect one of them is me, just to make sure it went up properly. So I don't know how long I'll keep doing this in terms of that stuff. It may just go back to being a straight-up podcast that you can download on iTunes or whichever. Anyway, follow Ramble On Radio on Facebook, on Google Plus, and at Ramble On Blog on Twitter. And if you're listening on iTunes or you're on any one of those other ways of checking this out other than iTunes... other than YouTube, you heard Scarlett Sabé doing her poet Unnatural Act. Scarlett Sabé is a singer, or is an actress slash poet. She has a book of poetry out that you can get from her website, scarlettsabé.com. I'm going backwards here to find it, but yes, £25. Comes to about like $50 US by the time they throw shipping in. And I actually, believe it or not, I had one in the cart and then thought, oh, what am I kidding? Am I nuts? It's called Rocking Underground by Scarlett Sabé. This is interesting because it turns out Scarlett Sabé may be dating Jimmy Page. Pictures turned up this week of the two looking pretty lovey-dovey. Page being 71 and Sabé being 25. And not the handsomest 25-year-old woman. Although not, you know, not awful. Not awful. Speaking of that. Oh, tangent time. Tangent time. Break out the tangents. Reading a book called Led Zeppelin on Led Zeppelin. And it's all interviews from way back. From back in the day all the way up to the modern time. And I'm at the mid-80s. And Paige Plant mentions that, in fact, Hot Dog is about a girl. And she was a dog. That is the point of the song. So, just that's a sidebar. That's a sidebar. I'm going to get to that. I was going to do that this week, but it's A, take a longer. B, there's about four or five short little stories I thought might be fun to run through today instead. And that'll give me next week to run that and... No, actually, right to the end of February, I got figured out what I'm going to do, I think. Although, you know, plans get really kiboshed fast sometimes. All I have to do is miss one and it's all screwed up. Never mind, something's got to get... Oh, they're doing a reunion. I can't talk about it for another 3 weeks. You know, that's what we need. So, but anyway, that's it seems to be it's Jimmy and Scarlett Sabé, and that was a bit of Scarlett Sabé, being as that was a newsworthy item this week. Another, I got to figure out, where did I put another newsworthy item from Mr. Page, comes regarding his living arrangements. I'm gonna delete this right off as I go, okay, how's that? His neighbor is Robbie Williams from the boy band Take That, and he's If you follow the English music press, you know who he is, although I don't think I know any of his songs, but I know who Robbie Williams is. I assume he's reasonably talentless and uses auto-tune a lot. He also apparently has terrible taste in home renovations. He's Paige's neighbor, and Paige is quite upset that he's renovating his West London home. This is the home that belonged to Michael Winner, the director of Death Wish 2, and did he do Scream for Help 2? And there was a few others. A friend of Paige's through the years. And Williams bought the mansion for $17.5 in 2013. It was previously owned by Winner, who passed away a couple of years back. Williams is planning on doing a bunch of renovations. Paige has written to the borough planning chiefs concerning voicing concern that Williams' plans could damage his own house. I tend to be pretty I'm pretty big on the private property rights. If Williams wants to do something to his house, that's pretty much his business. Except, there's an exception when I'm extremely concerned this work will cause vibrations and possible structural damage to my house. That's not cool. That doesn't go. And if the engineers, if there's real, that's just not something that always gets thrown on these letters. It's possible it is, by the way. But if he's got an older house, it may well be that it's a bit more delicate. They're dynamiting or something. If you can get an engineer to credibly say that that could happen, then the renovation should stop. Other than that, it's his house. But anyway, it appears the proposed new windows is at the height that will overlook the side of my house as well as the garden at the rear of my property, thus having a significant impact on the amenity of the house and its garden. He also cited the fact that Williams' property is grade 2 listed as a reason to block the home improvements. Although I understand that much of the interior is altered by the current owner's predecessor, I believe most of the exterior of the building remains intact and therefore should be considered sacrosanct. By the way, grade 2 I believe means like historic, something along those lines. Williams' plans includes making changes to the garden, the layout of the house, plus replacing the roof of its glass studio. So anyway, that's going on with Paige. Where did I have this other thing? That is going on with Jimmy Paige. That's he's in the news this week a little bit with both those stories. He's hit the mainstream papers with those two stories. As well, there was a Facebook post from I forget who, or a tweet from I forget who said he had just finished doing the liner notes, listening to and really interesting music, and doing the liner notes for the Death Wish 2 Deluxe Edition. This quickly scrambled everybody to Dave Lewis's interview with Jimmy. And if you're on Facebook, you can see I have the latest edition of Type It Loose. I do not have my glasses, so this is going to be fun. Be fun with a capital F. What was I thinking? What can fans expect from the instrumental music you are about to release via your website? What I'm doing with the website, what I started doing, is to put out some soundtrack stuff. There's only two, but it's all extra material. I even found something from Lucifer Rising that predates what I sent to Kenneth Anger, and it's really, really terrific. It's from my own mixes, and I'm really proud of this, and I want it to be heard. It's quite different to the one that came out on the website previously, so I've got experimental stuff that I did. It's interesting to think what I was doing back then. Is that coming out on vinyl, Dave Lewis asks. It will come out on vinyl and CDs. There's also stuff from Death Wish 2, which never got heard, but it will now, so that's basically what I've got in the pipeline. So, what that means is we don't know. But a lot of people are speculating, so now we're getting deluxe editions, CD and LP, of Death Wish 2 soundtrack and Lucifer Rising. It's possible it's a one edition, three LPs, two CDs sort of thing. Because neither of those is very long. So, it's possible it's something more like that, that it'll be a combined effort. I hate to think that he would re-release Lucifer Rising. What's it been 2 years since he originally released it? Now he's going to release. And what? How many bought it and listened to it once? Well, I've actually listened to it twice. But you know, now I'm supposed to buy it again. Don't see that happening. Now the Death Wish 2, I might, because it was a long time ago when I bought Death Wish 1. But I don't even know. That would be a real if for me about both counts. And it very much would depend on how I feel at the very time when it comes out. Do you know what I mean? As I was kind of talking last week about the box sets, it very much just depends on when you see it and you go, should I buy it? Yes or no. So, but we can expect something from Mr. Page on that front. So much for new material that he's got to go into the studio and put together a band. He's now dicking around. Having finished the Led Zeppelin stuff, he's now dicking around with his soundtrack stuff. I suppose, you know, lots of people are saying too, I'd love to if he did The Firm. 30 years since The Firm. Be nice to do something like that. You know, give it a good CD treatment. What about Outrider? Could use a good treatment. I would just rather him put together a band and do some stuff. I don't want him dicking around with this stuff. I want him to dick around with something new. Leave this for his kids to do after he's gone, you know? Let them put it out and milk it for all it's worth. What the hell? You know, and a lot of people kind of say they don't like that sort of thing. Oh, I wish the kid wouldn't do that or something. But at the end of the day, it doesn't tarnish Jimmy Page's reputation when the kids milk. You know what I mean? Whereas if he starts milking the treatments, and then people go, oh yeah, he's milking it. funny quote in the interview books from about 85, Robert Plant saying, John Paul Jones calls him once a year, looking to put the game back together. He kind of comments that he's always looking out for the money, that one. Anyway, just thought of that. I suspect it's going to be a fun one next week. I'm going to have all that to talk about, aren't I? Okay, so we got Jason Bonham dates happening, and we have news on Jason Bonham regarding the dates as well. It's all, excuse me, I'm just going to put on the headphones. I'm a bit coarse in the voice tonight, and I'm not sure if I'm talking quite very loud. So let me put the headphones on. Problem is the headphones are a little out of sync. So it doesn't, yeah, you can hear me though. You can hear me. Is that good? Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure of that. I'm going to turn the volume down there. And so Jason's doing dates with the Led Zeppelin Experience. The word was March. That's what we had heard. That's what James Dillon told us. And it's what it was looking like. Well, March is going to be west and south. North and east. Via Twitter today, Jason Bonham says, East Coast shows will be May and June. I had to move some shows around because I'm going to be touring with Sammy Hagar again. So presumably that means April he's out with Sammy Hagar. But anyway, so we have a whole... I just looked them up today and there's a whole bunch. Solana Beach, California on March 3rd and 5th. Those two shows are sold out at the Belly Up Bar, I guess it is. Las Vegas, House of Blues on the 6th, 7th, 8th of March. Tickets are available Friday. They go on sale. Napa, we talked about last week. Napa already on sale. Reno, Nevada at the Knitting Factory already on sale. That's the 11th, 12th of March. 14th of March, Rancho Mirage, California. Already on sale. The 16th of March is Salt Lake City, Utah at the Depot. Tickets go on sale Thursday, January 15th, which I'm going to guess is today. So on sale. 17th and 18th is Aspen, Colorado at the Belly Up. The 16th, so tomorrow tickets go on sale by the time you hear this probably. 22nd, 23rd, Nashville, Tennessee, the Marathon Music Works. Tomorrow, the 16th of January, tickets on sale. Birmingham, Alabama at Iron City, tickets on sale the 16th. And the 26th of March, Mobile, Alabama at the Soul Kitchen. No word on tickets there. There was one showed up in May. I knew they were doing shows in May because one showed up in New York Huntington Beach or something like that in May. But I don't see it on the official dates, but I stumbled across it somewhere. So that's what's going to happen. So if you're in those areas, the south, west and south, you got the March dates. Clever of them. Stay where it's warm in March. May and June, it's getting warm up in Canada here. Come on up. We'll have a good time. That could be the way it goes. Robert Plant, I have a bunch of Robert Plant shows too. They've kind of announced a couple more festivals, Bonnaroo and Mountain Jam. Then I check his website and I got this: March 13th, Foro Sol, Mexico; the 14th, Lollapalooza, Chile; the 19th, Anzioni, Paraguay; 21st of March, Lollapalooza, Argentina; 28th of March, Lollapalooza, Brazil; 29th of May, Napa Valley, USA, which we knew about. And the 14th is Manchester, USA. And I believe that's the Mountain Jam Festival. And there is the Bonnaroo. He's doing Bonnaroo and he's doing Mountain Jam. I don't know what those dates are. How's that? And the Napa Valley date is a festival as well. So a lot of festivals. And that's caused some people to suggest, just to kind of comment, I would say, what's going on? Why is he doing so many festivals? Alternately, he had a New York Times interview this week. This is an old version of this USA Today interview. I don't know why that didn't correct when I correct, because I know I corrected it. Let me correct it now. USA Today, who called Hester Ontario crazy cold, you remember? And had an interview with Robert this week, and some of the other folks. Alison Krauss had a few words in the interview. You know, it was kind of one of these pieces put together, bits of interview. Justin Adams and Alison Krauss also say, talking about what he's doing. But he makes a comment that he wants Deadhead style fans, and a lot of people take that to mean people traveling show to show, following them around, that sort of thing. I took, based on the context, I really took it to mean that the Grateful Dead did whatever Grateful Dead wanted to do and kind of went their own way and did their own thing, and the fans followed along nicely. And that's the kind of fans he wants, that just understand where he's at a given moment and wants to do. I took that to mean that more the attitude of the fans, not the follow me around in minibuses kind of attitude, but accepting whatever he puts out there. Just in the context, that's the way I took it. Either way, I'm starting to wonder, is his audience disappearing? Lots of festival dates. A lot easier to sell a festival. You know, you got 20 bands and put Robert Plant's name at the top, along with, say, Slash and guys like that. And it's a little easier. Oh, there's six, but Robert Plant would be okay. Because you kind of go, Robert Plant would be okay. But I don't want to spend the $80 it's going to go, or $200, $80 to $200 it costs to see Robert Plant. But, you know, for $140, I get to see Robert Plant. Plus, I get to see this. So it's kind of a different sale to yourself, almost. Different marketing technique. And, you know, and the Deadhead, talking about the fans following along with whatever he wants, and or even if he's suggesting they follow him show to show, it, you know, wonder if he's starting to see the audience dwindle, that those 2,000 seat stadiums that he's kind of, or venues that he's kind of been playing, isn't working anymore. It's just speculation, that it's you know, people have seen Plant in a lot of different nuances now, and you know, I just wonder if that's where he's at. And so that was kind of how I read that anyway, but yeah, I think he really rather meant fans to accept what he's doing kind of unequivocally. I mean, it is worth mentioning the Grateful Dead improvised greatly, played their old songs the way they were like Led Zeppelin. Right, they played the songs the way they recorded the songs, and then they improvised, went off from there and improvised them. which, and of course, when Led Zeppelin reunited and when Page and Plant did their thing, Plant was the one who wanted nothing to do with improvising and kind of said no more doing out the solos. That was a kind of a well-known fact. And certainly he does a fairly tight set with the... They don't run away with the songs. So, you know... you can't say you want the Deadheads. Can you say you want the Deadheads kind of fans? When you don't want to do the Deadhead kind of show? That's... I don't know. That's one of those things, I suppose. But I just, yeah, like I wouldn't follow him around because he does pretty much the same show night in, night out. On top of everything else, you know. So, and that's not, like you know, before Christmas we went to New York and we seen Bob Seger. And it was our excuse to go to New York City was we grabbed some Bob Seger tickets. And he was quite good. I'm a big Bob Seger fan. He was quite good. But would you follow him around? He does more or less the same. He's doing the same show now. He was doing it in 1984, you know. It's a great show. It works. But you wouldn't go see it night after night after night. You know, every couple of years, it's a good show. but yeah, you wouldn't want to do it all the time. And the same goes for Robert. So this is not a me picking on Robert thing. I am going to do that later, however. And I'm going to pick on Jimmy. And it's going to be a full fairness thing. I've stumbled across something. And we're going to do a little picking. We're going to have a little fun at their expense. How's that? But yeah, so I kind of think... I wonder if Robert's kind of feeling the pressure to be more than he is. I guess is what I'm getting at. Yeah, anyway. Okay, so I got a couple of quotes. This is from the book Led Zeppelin on Led Zeppelin. I'm going to review it fully next week. It's quite a long book, really, and it's taken me a long time to get through it, a lot longer than I thought it would. I was expecting to be doing it this week, but good enough that this has worked out the way it has. So, I got a couple of quotes that I wanted to throw out there. Like I said, we're going to pick a little on Jimmy and a little on Rob. It's a little picking. It's a little fun. But these turned up, and I just kind of went, ooh, and if you follow me on Twitter, you know the answers to the questions, because I posted these on Twitter, these parts of these quotes anyway, the pertinent part, under the hashtag song remains the same, not the song, just song remains the same. And you'll understand why in a minute, but if you want to run to Twitter and find out what the quotes are, but you can't be part of the quiz, Okay, so it had to be, who said this? Here's the quote, who said this when? So it had to be for me as an artist, if you like, that I can roughly call, if I can roughly, never mind. So it had to be for me as an artist, I really got to do it all over again, and that is the challenge. I mean, without that challenge, I might as well go to Vegas and do cabaret. And there are a lot of rock and rollers doing that. I've just been there. I guess I got what he means by that. So he's just been to Vegas. Who said that? And when? People who went on Twitter, don't be cheating now. Don't put your hand up. Okay. The correct answer is, that is Robert Plant in 1983. That could be coming from a Robert Plant interview last year. He's that line about, I might as well go do cabaret, is a line he's still using. He throws that out there all the time. And the context is, he's talking about... What just happened now? Yeah, the context is, I'll give you the whole quote. This comes from on MTV, talking to Mark Goodman in July 1983. I thought it would be a misdemeanor to put out pictures at 11 and then whoosh out on the road with 8 or 9 songs. Because the way it is now for about me and Jimmy, if you like, is that if Jimmy decides to work shortly, which I think he probably will, which he did about a year later, then neither of us are in the position where we should try out and bring some more life out of communication breakdown and a whole lot of love. And so it had to be for me as an artist, if you like, I can be roughly called that, or a rough artist. I really got to do it all over again, and that is the challenge. I mean, without that challenge, I might as well go to Vegas and do cabaret, you know, and there are a lot of rock and rollers doing that. I've just been there. So yeah, the context is, he's talking about not touring after Pictures at 11, waiting until the second album, the one within the mood, another arms and stuff like that on it. Hold on, draw the blank. One of those blanks you draw. In the context here, I kind of like what he's saying. He's, you know, he wants the challenge. And I guess that's probably what he's always talking about, right? But it's funny. It's what he's been saying for years and years and years. And I just see him this day 83. Here comes out this cabaret line in 1983. And he's been saying, and it's a line that I bang my head when I hear sometimes. And it made more sense that he wasn't doing cabaret in 1983. He was doing something interesting and new and da-da-da-da-da. You know, I mean, the last time I seen him use the cabaret line, he was doing a version of rock and roll and Houses of the Holy, 2 years ago, that had less oomph to it than the song Cabaret. Liza Minnelli, we could have shown him a thing or two, the way he was doing those songs. So you might as well go to Vegas and do Cabaret, right? But, in 1983, it's more of a relevant comment, I think. In my opinion. But it was, I was funny. So, picking on him because it's funny. Okay, quiz two. Again, people on Twitter, you don't count here. Don't put up your hands. I'm watching you, Twitter people. I'm just trying to get out there. I'll need some time to get it to you. I almost can't say it without laughing. I'm just dying to get out there. Who said it and when? Jimmy Page last week. It'll need some time to get it together because I don't want to do anything that isn't 100% terrific. It would be silly to even think about going on with Zeppelin. It would have been a total insult to John. Oh, no, never mind that. So it's that first line. Sorry. I'm just dying to get out there. It'll need some time to get it together because I don't want to do anything that isn't 100% terrific. Who said it? When? And the answer is, who is Jimmy Page in July 1982 to Hit Parader's Andy Secker? And let's face reality. Jimmy said that 2 months ago when I saw him in New York. Almost to the word. I'm dying to get out there. I need some time to get it together because I don't want to do something that's not 100% terrific. That's exactly what he said at the end of the year last year, at the end of the year in 2013, at the end of the year in 2012, the end of the year in 2010. It's exactly what he's been saying. And here he is in 1982 talking about it. And he would be about 3 years before he actually got out there and did that. Well, he did the Arms tour and then The Firm, which was 85. So here's the full quote. I'm just dying to get out there. It'll need some time to get it together because I don't want to do anything that isn't 100% terrific. It would be silly to even think about going on with Zeppelin. It would have been a total insult to John. I could have played the numbers and looked around and seen someone else on the drums. It wouldn't have been an honest thing to do. No, it'll be new ideas, new material, and I'm ready to do it. Which leads to the question, by the way, if it would be an insult to John, why did they do it? Why did they rehearse with... And I want to guess... Tony Thompson's the name that strikes me. Let me see if I can really dig this up quick. Anyway, I don't know. I don't have the answer for you. Sorry. It's something I wanted to go over from last week. I made a couple of mistakes. I was listening to the thing last week going, no. So I was talking about in 1982, they rehearsed. I could be 81, could be 83, but right around there, they actually all three of them did some rehearsals with a drummer. I think it's Tony Thompson, but I could be way wrong on that. And I'm not finding it offhand here. My apologies on this. But what I said last week was they toured a little. They didn't. They rehearsed a little, what I thought I said. This is one of those cases where I said something completely different than what I was thinking. And when I heard it, I went, oh, that's a dumb mistake. So they didn't tour a little. They rehearsed a little. They did about a week of rehearsals to see how it would go. And then the drummer had a car accident, broke his leg, I think. And at that point, Plant walked away. I said, no, this is getting a little weirdly familiar, and I'm not into it. I believe there are discussions at the time. Plant has this said at the time that at the time, Page really wasn't doing much more than playing with his, changing the batteries on his wah-wah pedal. So I got the, it was just a mistake. It was a dumb mistake, and I apologize. And I meant to actually dig up the name of the drummer. One of these days I'll remember to actually do it. But they did get together and rehearse. They did think about reuniting without John Bonham. And it was Plant who walked away from it. But they did not do any shows or did not do any tours. There was another mistake I made, and I can't recall what it was. I know what it was. I talked about Phil Collins playing with them at Live Aid, and Plant, or Page in his book refers to him as just a fill-in drummer. And Plant was talking about how influential in getting his solo career going Phil Collins was to him. But what I said was he played with them at Nebworth, and it wasn't Nebworth. Again, knew what I was thinking, knew what I wanted to say, and said something completely different. And it's just one of those when you talk a lot, you know, when you have a show like this and you just, you go off and you talk, sometimes you're going to say something and not even realize what you said, and I did it twice last week. And so it wasn't Nebworth, it was Live Aid is what I was referring to. So if you were listening to that going, wait, what? If you picked it up, either one of those two mistakes, that's what, yeah, it was a yeah, what? So hopefully that is corrected, the record corrected for you. And we can put last week's to bed now. So anyway, that's going to be it for number 84. I hope you enjoyed. I hope it was a little bit different, a little bit of fun this week, a little bit more free-flowing. Lots of little tiny stories instead of a big story or a big issue. But next week is going to be, we're going to be looking at the book next week. We're going to be looking at The Firm, the first album, which is 30 years old on February 11th. We're going to be looking at that the week after. And then we're going to be rolling February, Physical Graffiti Month, coming up. I've already begun a little bit of research. So hopefully I can keep the labors up and be ready for you. It's one of these things I'm going to have to do now. I'm going to have to do early or it'll never be done right, you know. But anyway, that's coming. So that's it for 84. Thank you for listening to Ramble On Radio, episode 84. Check RambleOnRadio.com for notes on this week's podcast, Led Zeppelin news and reviews, and any links mentioned in today's podcast. Follow Ramble On Radio on Facebook, Google+, and at Ramble On Blog on Twitter. You can subscribe to Ramble On Radio through iTunes. Listen on Spreaker and check it out at Ramble On Radio on YouTube. Thanks for listening to Ramble On Radio, episode 84.
I'm sure there'll be internet forums telling me what I'm doing.
Switch off the internet.